Hey everybody, welcome back to Broadway Babies. I'm Noelle Hannibal.
And I'm Stephanie Anderson.
We are here today to talk about how to keep ourselves fresh and focused during this pandemic, what kind of classes we're taking, what kind of classes we can take, auditions, how auditions are going during this time, all that good stuff.
Right. It's been right. And I say it that way, like cronk, because it's just, we're almost a year into this whole thing, and everybody's still trying to figure out how things are, what things are going to work, what things are going to stay the way they are, what things are probably going to go back to the way they were. And just my thoughts on things. Well, we could talk about this. One of the things that I've been trying to work on is our self tapes. And now there's a ton of information out there now. You can go on YouTube, there's a bunch of people talking about the proper way to self tape. You have casting agents and casting directors out there helping you out on ways to self slate, well, not self slate, but to slate, and how, setups and backgrounds and all that kind of stuff. And it's really, if you're not used to it, well, you should be by now, but if you're not, it's daunting. My suggestion is, I've done a few self tapes that I've had to, send in, is to just set yourself up, set up your cameras. You can even use your phone or whatever. And I just do them just to kind of get an idea of what I look like. Because sometimes what you think you look like and what you think you sound like does not necessarily translate to what you actually see. That's what I've learned, especially during self-tapes. I mean, I've watched, clips of myself too from shows. From shows.
That to me, one of the most important things about the self-tape is the lighting. Because if
Right.
you're in, your dark basement with one overhead light, which is creating big shadows on your face and what look like big dark circles under your eyes, that's maybe not the image that you want to portray to casting directors.
Right.
You do, of course, always, as with headshots and everything, you want to look like yourself as much as possible, but that is still achievable in a much better way with some good lighting. So for me,
Yeah.
I invested in a softbox photographer's lighting on Amazon. And I know people aren't wanting to shop on Amazon right now, but at the beginning of the pandemic, that was the easiest way for me to get something quickly. And I think I paid about $30 for it, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Takes away all those shadows. I still look like me, but the best version of me, I'll say.
Freshest version of me,
Fresh,
right?
yes.
Fresh face, and dewy eye.
Which clearly I don't have. Stephanie sees me right now. Clearly I don't have that light on me right now.
Well, we're going with natural lighting here, so that is. I mean, luckily, where I usually do my self tapes, my room where I do it is really actually well lit because I've got this nice wide window. But I also do use some lighting, like I have a ring light that works, and then I have an extra light. I have two separate ring lights, so I just use one on one side and one on the other. But I really want to invest in a box light. That's my next thing. I'm trying to kind of gear up to make myself have my own little, corner of the world. So, and then backdrops. This is the thing that we're moving on. So backdrops. Listen, cameras were not created for Black people. I'm just gonna say that the whole camera thing is not the setup for Black folks. I'm just saying that. So for person who is melanated to get a backdrop that really suits them is quite the journey I'm seeing now. Because you want to stand apart from the backdrop, but you don't want, I don't know how to describe it. And I've seen a couple of casting directors say gray is probably the best, but you know, not with what's going on my skin. That is not best.
Yeah, gray doesn't, not everybody looks good in gray. Gray makes me look like death. And I installed a curtain rod above the window, and I have about 7 different curtains that I purchased online, like the one behind me, which is this lovely forest that's, you know, kind of hard to see right now. But it kind of gives me a little bit of variety depending mm-hmm. on what I'm doing. So I have, you know, I have the pale kind of beigey kind of neutral right. one. I have a white one. I have a black one. So I have a little bit of a variety, and then I've got multiple colors depending on if I'm doing a self-tape or if I'm doing a live stream concert or if I'm, you know, just hanging out with Stephanie and chatting or just chatting with friends or doing a class or teaching. So it gives me a little bit of variety in my backdrop, which I like.
Yeah. I'm debating on color and scenery, more so color. And I thought maybe like a blue, but not. See, that's the thing. If it's a pale blue, then it just kind of, I just become too dark and you can't really see any. It's weird. I have to figure it all out. But I like the blues. And even if it is like a gray, a bluish gray, that might work too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that to me is the hardest thing. Everything else, trying to figure it out and all the setups and how the lighting hits me, I'm not having problems with that. It's finding the right backdrop for me.
The backdrop.
That is the issue. Yeah. And, you know, depending on whatever audition I'm doing or self-tape I'm doing, the clothes also affect, you know, how everything works from head to toe. Once again, cameras were not set up for Black folks. I don't care what anybody says. You can try to argue with me all you want to. It is proven fact. TV cameras that you take pictures with, they weren't thinking about no Black people. So now we got to figure out how this is going to work for us.
Yeah.
So that is my only struggle. And actually, you know what? At first I was like, self-tapes? We have to do self-tapes now? But I don't mind them so much now because it's kind of fun to do the setup. Like I kind of mm-hmm. like doing mm-hmm. the whole setup, and I like being able to really get comfortable with whatever I'm auditioning with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can do it as many times as you want without it being right. an issue, or it's like an overnight thing. Sometimes it's like, we need it tomorrow. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. My most hilarious self-tape experience was, I think it was maybe 6 years ago. I was in California, spending time with my best friend whose husband had passed away. And we're just at the house and people are bringing food, and you know, I'm just spending time with her and the kids, and I get an email from my agent for an audition. I'm like, oh God, what do I do? You know, what do I do? I'm in LA. I'm not in Montreal. What do I do? So I write back to her and I said, you know, I'm in LA. What do I do? And she writes back, they'll take a self-tape from you. So they send me the scene and they said, you need to have a reader. I'm going to have to ask Tracy to do this.
Tracy
was, she was like a pro, man. She was holding my iPhone and the script and reading, being my reader, and trying to find in her house a place where there's decent light, a place where there's a neutral wall. Like it was, we must have done it no less than 10 times.
Yeah.
And by like the 7th time, we would just start laughing because, and I knew when I sent it, to my agent, this is not good. This is not good. But you know, I learned a little bit of a lesson, and that lesson is that you always have to be prepared for anything. And now I have this little tiny little portable ring light that clips onto my phone. So now I have instant, when I travel, I throw that in my bag. So I've got a light that I can put on my phone, and you know, I can solve at least that problem.
Right. Yeah, this industry that we're in, I mean, you really do have to stay on your toes, not just once you get the job and you're, and rehearsing or performing, but like you said, just straight out of the box, like make sure you have something so you're ready to roll. But you made work.
I made it work, you know, but it was a really good learning experience. It was the
Right.
first time that I had gotten an audition call on one of my trips home to visit. So I learned that lesson, and I do every, 'cause I go, well, up until this last
Last
year,
year.
I go at least once a year. And so I always have that little clip ring light in my bag. I bring sheet music with me, just in case, because you never know. And I have my laptop with me, so I have digital access to my, sheet music. And if in case something pops up while I'm there and I have to do a self-tape of a song, I have friends who are pianists that I can just call up Keith Harrison or, somebody and say, hey, I've got an audition. Do you have some time? Can you meet me for a half an hour and we just knock this out? So
Right.
I did learn that lesson. So now I'm prepared for anything.
Yeah, you got to be prepared. I have a friend who does a ton of voiceover work, and he doesn't, well, like everybody, up until last year, he did travel quite a lot. And he would find that, he would have, while he's doing one job, like maybe he's performing somewhere, doing some stage work somewhere, but then he gets a call to do voiceover. Like we need him to knock out this, commercial thing. So he, goes wherever he goes, and he has this little, recording set up for that. So this whole, oh, actors, they don't even know. I have to say, we are a versatile bunch. You
We are
really have to
versatile
just,
and we are resilient.
that's true. You just have to kind of make it work for you, which is why I like this whole, I at first I was kind of like self-tape, but I have to get used to seeing myself. Usually I just, I don't do a lot of TV, so, or film. So I don't really see myself. Most of my stuff is staged. So I do it and it's done. And if I see it, it's a miracle. You know what I mean? So getting used to the idea of, not being so self-critical in a bad way, but for the sake of what I need to do, yes. Like, oh, well, let me see if I could work it this way, rather than, wow, Steph, you need to lose, I don't want to go there. So that's the one thing that I'm working on. But I actually kind of like self-tape. It's kind of fun.
Oh, I am super, super critical of myself. Like, I will nitpick everything about me apart from, oh, I don't like that shirt. I don't like that color. I don't like how I did my makeup. I don't like how my hair is falling. I don't like my posture.
All of that.
And then I will nitpick apart every little detail of every note of what I'm singing, if it's a singing self-tape. And I'm trying to get myself out of the habit of doing that because, when you go into an audition room, you go in, and if your voice cracks, your voice cracks, whatever. So they know people's voices crack sometimes, But when I do a self-tape, I wind up doing it over and over. Like, I wind up with an exhausted voice by the end because I'm trying to get it perfect. And one of the things that I've been doing just to try and combat that side of myself that's like super critical is doing these live streams that I've been doing on Facebook. I've been doing this thing called Quarantine Saturdays, and they're live stream concerts. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I was doing them every week. I did like 13 consecutive weeks. And then I took some time off, and then it was every 2 weeks. And then I got put in Facebook jail last month for something, a tweet I shared the day of the insurrection in the US, and Facebook misread it and put me in Facebook jail in that I was not allowed to do any live streams for 30 days and I wasn't allowed to advertise for 30 days. So this week was my first one back. And part of why I'm doing them is A, to keep myself singing and doing stuff, learning new songs, trying out different styles of music that maybe I wouldn't normally sing. You know, like I did a women in rock edition and a women in country edition. You know, so that I'm not just singing musical theater, but also that I'm doing something. It is recorded and it is saved to Facebook and I can look back at it, but I'm realizing the more I'm doing it, when I look back at it, I'm forgiving myself the tiny little hiccups or the place where I didn't take a breath properly. Like last night I watched my Sutton Foster edition, which I think is my favorite one that I've done. And it was just songs from shows that Sutton has done. And there are a lot of like missteps and a lot of places where like, oh, I didn't place that note properly. But like just looking at myself and seeing the absolute joy in my face for singing that, I was like, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this. So that's kind of the lesson that I'm trying to learn, is to not be so critical of myself, not pick apart everything. We're human. We're not perfect. And, you know, to forgive ourselves that, because I'm very hard on myself.
Yeah, you can find yourself losing all of the joy that you have for doing what you do by tearing everything apart. And like you said, I'm doing the same thing. I am learning. And this last self-tape that I had to submit really kind of cemented it for me. And, you know, right as I was setting it up, because I was getting so frustrated and I was hot and it was, you know, I was just, it became too much. And then I said, you know what, you know, take a breath, relax, just sample it out. There's nobody here. Sample it out, whatever you like. If this is what you're comfortable with, it, this is what it, you, this is how you interpret it. Do it that way, not what you think they want. They're mm-hmm. looking for you to do what you think would work well. Mm-hmm. So all the second guessing and all that. And once I did that, I was able to do something that I really liked. And I was like, yes, this is it. So trying to take the ego out of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking ego in like a bad way, but just the whole, you know, finding everything wrong with it thing, instead of looking at it, enjoying, going, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that one. That was good.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't work, but you know, it's okay. You know, it's not, I finally figured out, well, it's like, you know, so this is not the end of the world. This is not your last audition ever. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not your last audition ever. There will be more. So don't mm-hmm. stress it, you know,
yeah.
don't
yeah.
stress this out.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Be grateful you have one. You know, not everybody's getting auditions, so be grateful you have this opportunity. So that's when it really kind of set for me. And I was like, okay, I can relax now. I can get this done. And it worked. Like, you know, 10 minutes later, I was done. This is something else. But yeah, self-tapes is one of those newfangled things. And then, you know, distance learning is another thing that is kind of something that I've been doing kind of off and on, because I have been taking breaks, not gonna lie. Haven't been doing, you know, I haven't been really going the gauntlet full stop this mm-hmm. entire time. Mm-hmm. Because self-care, especially in this climate that we're in, is to me tantamount above anything else. So if I don't feel like doing it, I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen today.
Yeah.
And be perfectly okay with that. I think, you know, as actors, we sometimes freak out if we're not doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh my God, I need to be doing something. No, right now, you need to be taking care of yourself. There's a reason why this is all going down the way it's going down. And if this is a time for you to just be and do some self, you know, go within and do some reflection, meditating, whatever it is, do it for you, mm-hmm. because it's, mm-hmm. in the long run, it's going to help you out after this is all over, getting through this all, you know?
Mm-hmm. This is a lesson that I'm still struggling to learn. You know,
hard.
I've got to have this, and I've got to be doing this, and I've got to, you know, I'm the kind of person where I like having things to look forward to. So it could be a show or a trip or, you know, a movie coming out or whatever, something that I have on the horizon that I'm looking forward to. And most of the time it has revolved around being in a show or being a guest at a con or taking a trip. So many of those things in 2020 were canceled. You know, I had a bunch of cons, was really looking forward to going back to Nashville. I had a trip planned to California. I had 3 productions planned. So when that all stopped, much like, you know, pretty much everybody else in our industry, when everything stopped, what do I do now? What's the pivot that I'm going to do? And I went a little crazy at the beginning. We started the podcast. I was doing the Quarantine Saturdays every single week. I was organizing classes. I organized a play reading of a friend's play. I was like, go, 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 go. And then at some point, my brain and my body were like, nope, nope. So I'm still finding that I struggle with not having those things on the horizon. So I'm trying to live a little more in the moment and enjoy the journey rather than focusing so much on what's in the future. So I still struggle with it, but I'm working on it. I'm working
awesome.
On it.
Yeah, it's weird how it took me this long to figure out that it is okay not to do anything. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we're all still here. The world's not gonna crumble and fall because you didn't get to do this. It's okay. And obviously, like I said before, we need to do some work on ourselves. And it doesn't have to be major. It's just a moment to be grateful. Mm-hmm. And especially what we're dealing with now, to be grateful that we're still here and we're relatively healthy and most of us have our faculties together. Most being able to have the time to do a lot of distance learning is something that I didn't have before. And now I have. So mm-hmm. I have been kind of checking into certain things that I wasn't able to do that maybe weren't even available online that are now. So that's another thing that I've been working on. And I know a lot of other actors who have been doing that, you know, taking, you know, acting classes online, mm-hmm. I know, or master classes or, you know, voice classes, dance classes, they're all available now to people online rather than having to go out to seek that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there are a lot of great opportunities. Like we were talking about earlier, Betty Buckley's got a masterclass series starting on March 2nd. And Ricky Lugo, who's a teacher and choreographer we know, has got classes going online. I have stuff that I offer, what I normally was offering to Montreal actors, which was bringing Broadway professionals to Montreal to teach masterclasses. I'm offering classes online as well. On my company page in the wings promotions Com or on Facebook. So, you know, we did a great class with Peter Lockyer, which was Pay What You Can. I mean, this guy has played Jean Valjean a gazillion times in many, many, many different countries. And he offered a Pay What You Can song interpretation masterclass. I mean, just that does not happen. That doesn't happen. No, it really doesn't.
Right. And the uptick is a lot of your favorite performers are available right now. I mean, this is a prime opportunity. That part of the reason is why we had so many wonderful performers who came in and spoke with us, came to our podcast and spoke with us, because they have the time available. Like before this, how could we lock down half those people that we were able to do?
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty amazing. So another way.
21, we had 21 guests in 24 weeks. 21 guests in 24 weeks.
24 weeks. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And the opportunities now, like Betty Buckley, like when masterclass, like when would you have the opportunity if this pandemic was not happening right now?
Yeah. Exactly. From the comfort of your own home. You don't have to go out in the winter to get to whatever theater or rehearsal space. There's so many great, and there are so many opportunities for people with different budgets as well. You know, there are some classes that, you know, it's gonna cost you a couple hundred dollars to work for 10 minutes on your song, and you know, trust me when I tell you that it's worth it. It is totally worth it. But because it's not in everybody's budget, there are many, many, many great teachers out there that are offering classes, master classes, one-on-one coaching for considerably less. And, you know, it doesn't just have to be because they're a big name star that they're the only teacher that you can go to. There are tons of opportunities out there. And, you know, it's one of the things that I, you know, like I say, I do too much, and I do wish I was spending a little more time on my education. I have not been spending enough time vocally, acting. Like it's kind of comes in waves. But one thing that I have been doing, something I always wanted to do my entire life, was learn how to play the piano. And Catherine Lounsbury, who I know that you know.
Yes,
Catherine offers online piano lessons on Zoom. And this will be my third week of taking piano lessons. And last week in my second lesson ever, I learned how to play Hallelujah, which was like, what? I'm playing Hallelujah right now. Yeah. So that's something that I just said, you know what? I want to do this for myself. It's something I've always wanted to do. I didn't take it before because I didn't have the time to actually do the practicing, like not the class itself, but to do the practicing. So it's a little something that I decided to do for myself.
Yay. Catherine Lounsbury is phenomenal.
She's great. And it's $25. $25 for the class, for 75-minute class. And the first class, it was just me and one other person. And last week's class, it was only two other people. So it's super like hands-on, lots of personal attention for $25. And it's, I want to say it's that piano girl, Kat, I'm gonna say.
Yes, it is.
Is it that?
That piano girl.
That piano girl, cat.com. Yes. So that piano girl, cat.com, and give a little shout out to her for her amazing lessons that she's giving.
Yeah, she's wonderful and just so sweet and so helpful and truly an exquisitely talented musician. Like she's off the charts. Amazing.
Yeah.
Really love her.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Something I want to touch on when we were talking about auditions is this This video that kind of resurfaced from 2017 because of the success of the Bridgerton show, the Shonda Rhimes Regency era, Shonda Rhimes contemporary music Netflix series. Jonathan Bailey, who is in that series, people don't know that he is a musical theater performer on the West End. And this video sort of resurfaced from 2017 of him auditioning for production of The Last 5 Years, which he wound up booking and did it with Samantha Barks. This video is of him singing If I Didn't Believe in You. And it's you know, they put the audition on tape. I remember seeing it 3 years ago or 4 years ago and thinking, God, this guy is incredible. And now that it's sort of resurfaced, I think I've watched it about 5 times in the last couple of weeks, because I watch it and I can't, like, the second half, it's 6 minutes long. And from minute 3 to minute 6, I don't think I blink, because it's so good. His choices, and this is one of those on tape moments where it's not pitch perfect singing. It's still pretty great, but, you know, there are wavers and there are missed notes and, you know, here and there. But his acting, it is an absolute masterclass in how to connect with your scene partner. And his scene partner is most likely a casting director or the director or somebody who's just not even there. I mean, I imagine that there are people in the room, but I'm obsessed with this clip. And I notice a lot of musical theater coaches and singing coaches on YouTube are doing reaction videos to it now because of the success of Bridgerton. But it is just like my favorite thing right now to watch on the internet, because the every choice he makes is just, I know that show very, very well as well. And just every choice he makes is spot on. It's just, I gush over it. It's so great.
I love I've watched it too. And I love that he takes whatever the intention is rock solid from start to finish. Mm-hmm. Like you could tell that he did some work prior to going in there. Yeah. You know, sometimes when you getting from 0 to 60 in the amount of time that he had, 6 minutes is a lot. First of all, that was amazing. 'Cause, you know, usually auditions are like, you know, 16 bars and you're done.
Yeah.
So for him to be able, that must've been a callback or something.
I'm sure. Yeah, it must've been, but 'cause it's the full song. It's the whole sequence.
But just to be able to tap into what he tapped into it was wonderful to watch. It really was.
Yeah, there are a couple of moments with choices that he makes. First of all, when he says Kathy, which he says multiple times in that song, but there are a couple of instances as it kind of revs up where it's like so biting. It's like he's spewing her name out.
Right.
You know, and like right. You feel every like little breath of the word of her name that he's saying. And there's another moment when he turns back to the door and I gotta watch it again. He turns back to the door and then he comes back to her, and it's like that choice in that moment is just, people think that when you do an audition, a lot of people, especially people who don't have a lot of experience, that you have to stand planted in one spot and look over the casting director's shoulder, which that's not the case. That's something that you do in like high school drama. When, you know, you plant your feet and you stare at one spot. But when we're dealing with these kinds of auditions, we want to be as authentic as possible. And authenticity is not standing in one spot and staring at a black spot on the wall. And he is in this audition using every bit of space and coming back to her at exactly the right time and looking away at exactly the right time and leaning forward at exactly the right time. It's just, it's utterly genius. And I'm just like a gigantic fan of his, and I can't wait for season two of Bridgerton, because in the book it's all about his character. So I'm really hopeful that in the second book, I'm really hopeful that season two is going to be all about him, because I'm a gigantic Jonathan Bailey fan. And Jonathan, if you're out there and you're listening, I know I hit you up on Instagram and you haven't read it yet, but please come on Broadway Babies. Thank you.
Oh, there we go. We're going to just do shout outs to everybody who wanted to come on here. Like, if you don't ask, you don't get.
You know, hey, this is how we got, you know, when we started this podcast, many of our first guests were friends, people that we knew, but then we started getting people that we didn't know. And it was because we asked. We sent nice messages to these nice people, these lovely people, and they said yes. And I feel very lucky that we have had the kinds of guests that we've had on, you know, everything from actors to musicians to directors to composers to, you know, everything. Producers. Producers. Yep. Yeah, I'm so thankful for this show, which has kept me going through some of this stuff that we're all going through. But it's also, it really has been so educational in talking about educational and talking about education, you know, listening to these people, you know, Michael Cerveris, my God, mm-hmm. two-time Tony Award winner, you know, listening to Mia Morales from producing standpoint, but also as a performer, and Mark right. Shaman, you know, as a composer. It's just, it's been eye-opening, and I feel like I've gotten a great education in hosting this podcast with you. So,
well, same here. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's lovely to be able to sit and talk to people and who share common interests and to see it from different points of view. And I love how everybody, for the most part, has had that love and desire to not necessarily perform, like get on a stage and perform, but be a part of it in some way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everybody has different hats. You know, most people aren't just actors. Most people, and I shouldn't say it that way, but most people aren't just actors. There's other facets of theater that, you know, different hats they put on. And it's really interesting to find those things out and discover those things mm-hmm. as you're going through your career and thinking, oh, you know what? I mean, I like acting, but I think I kind of like doing lighting. I think lighting's kind of cool. Or, wow, I really kind of like sound. I didn't realize how much I really, you know, was fascinated by that, or costumes or whatever it is. I just like that everybody is so multifaceted mm-hmm. in this industry. Most yeah. people are.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to a point where you're like, I don't, yeah, well, and then most of the time you get to a point where you're like, I can't wait for anybody else to do this, just like you have been doing, Noelle, for a number of years. I'm just going to have to do it myself. That's yeah. pretty much how a lot of my friends are. You know, I can't wait for anybody else. So yeah. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, that's, you know, I never imagined I would be a theater producer. That was just not something that I ever thought I would do. It seemed like an awful lot of work.
I can imagine.
And, you know, and not like, I like the play. I like, yes, it's a lot of work to perform, but we also get to play to a degree, and I like the playing.
Right.
But there just weren't opportunities here for me and for many of my friends and colleagues. So I said, well, I started with one it's a concert version of a musical. Let's see how it goes. And it was a one night only. We spent 2 months working on this thing, and it was a one night only concert version of Chess, and it was standing room only. And I was like, I'm onto something. And that was 6 years ago, and here we are, like six some odd productions later. Yeah, so I do enjoy it, though. I do. I have a really great team, and I'm finding that I like seeing everything fall into place, you know, like
right
at the beginning, and it's stressful and the casting, and then, you know, the, like, rehearsals could get off to a rocky start, and you know, then you go into like tech and you're like, oh God, oh God, oh God. And then, you know, that opening night hits, and it's just, it's magical. It really is.
Yeah, I'm hoping to move in that direction eventually. I mean, I love performing, but I kind of want to venture into other frontiers. I mean, I've done the costume thing. I've done, you know, I've done the directing thing. I've done that. And I don't know. I think maybe I want to be on the production side of things. Not sure yet, but I'm looking to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. Do it, do it.
Because my thing is, I really love the rehearsal process. Not to say that I don't like performing, because I do, but I really, there's something about the rehearsal process that I really love. I love to see things come together. I love to see actors really kind of come into their own in whatever, and their confidence in their roles that they've been, you know, hired to do. I love to, you know, I don't know. I just love that first day of Tech Week when everybody comes together in the theater. I love all that stuff. You know, I love all the behind the scenes stuff. And it's more apparent now than it was before. But, you know, every time I watch a show, I'm like, I wonder how rehearsals for that went. You know, I my mind always goes back to, wow, I wonder if they did that in rehearsal. How do they do that? I want to know how they did that. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I might have to go into production part to just kind of be like a fly on the wall and watch some sort of magic thing happen as it does in rehearsals, you know, closer to the show dates. I just love rehearsals. I love them.
Yeah, me too. I love rehearsals.
That's a weird thing to say. I don't know if it's a weird thing to say, but
no, I don't think so, because it's because that is kind of ties right into that enjoy the journey. Your rehearsal process is your journey to your goal, which is opening and running your show. The rehearsal process is when you get to do the most playing, right?
Right. Like, that's true.
Trying different things, trying different approaches, how, you know, I enjoy the rehearsal process a lot.
Yeah. Which goes back to self-tapes. It's probably why I like that too. I mean, you can play with it and not have the confines of, well, we have, you know, auditions in like 10 minute blocks. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's coming in 10 minutes. So you have to kind of nail it and keep going. Not to say that you shouldn't be, you know, keeping on top of that kind of auditioning process as well, but at least when you're self-taping, it's not, you don't have that lingering thing right there. Mm-hmm. As you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not lingering. So I think it gives a lot more freedom.
Yeah.
A lot more freedom when you're doing things. And just playing around with the camera. You know, I really have to get used to seeing myself anyway. Not that I enjoy them, but just getting used to seeing myself, seeing expression, seeing it from the audience perspective. Like I said, if something doesn't read well, like I've seen a couple of shows that I've done, I'm like, that didn't read at all. Like I thought it would read, but I mean, the audience enjoyed it, but you know, like the audience enjoyed it. I was like, that's it's not how it was in my head. In my head, it was something different, but whatever it was worked for them. So that's why, you know, I would lock in certain things. That's funny.
Yeah.
Again, my face really doesn't read a lot. Sometimes my face doesn't read what I'm thinking. So people are, they're not sure. Let me just leave that way.
Yeah. Not sure. Thank you all for spending this time with us today. Be sure and look up some education opportunities. There are so many out there. If you've got a little time, if you want to pick up a dance class or a singing lesson or an acting class, there's a lot of stuff, online on Zoom that you can participate in, and all ranges of price points.
It's true. From, you know, pay what you can, free, pay what you can, up and up.
And up, yeah.
Yeah. And also, come visit us on Twitter, please. We would love to get some feedback from y'all. So you can find us at BWay_babies on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And also on Facebook. And so come find us.
Like and follow. And we are actually, I'm working on getting all of our episodes up on YouTube as well. So they will still be audio, but maybe at some point we will get a little bit of video up, little snippets of some of our, I might put together a little montage of some of our interviews, because we do record on Zoom so we can see each other. So I have every single episode we've done with all of our amazing guests. So that's a little project that I kind of have on the back burner of something to do to share with you guys. Thank you again. And we will be back next week with another fun episode of Broadway Babies. I'm Noelle Hannibal.
And I'm Stephanie Anderson.
We'll see you next time.
All right. See you, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.